In the infinitude of mind, matter must be unknown. Symbols and elements of discord and decay are not products of the infinite, perfect, and eternal all. From love and from the light and harmony, which are the abode of spirit, only reflections of good can come. All things beautiful and harmless are ideas of mind. Mind creates and multiplies them, and the product must be mental. Finite belief can never do justice to truth in any direction. Finite belief limits all things and would compress mind, which is infinite, beneath a skull bone. Such belief can neither apprehend nor worship the infinite, and to accommodate its finite sense of the divisibility of soul and substance, it seeks to divide the one spirit into persons and souls. Through this error, human belief comes to have gods many and lords many. Moses declared as Jehovah's first command of the ten, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." But behold the zeal of belief to establish the opposite error of many minds. The argument of the serpent in the allegory, "Ye shall be as gods," urges through every avenue the belief that soul is in body and that infinite spirit and life is in finite forms. Rightly understood, instead of possessing a sentient material form, man has a sensationless body. And God, the soul of man and of all existence, being perpetual in his own individuality, harmony, and immortality, imparts and perpetuates these qualities in man through mind, not matter. The only excuse for entertaining human opinions and rejecting the science of being is our mortal ignorance of spirit. Ignorance which yields only to the understanding of divine science, the understanding by which we enter into the kingdom of truth on earth and learn that spirit is infinite and supreme. Spirit and matter no more commingle than light and darkness. When one appears, the other disappears. Error presupposes man to be both mind and matter. Divine science contradicts the corporeal senses, rebukes mortal belief, and asks, "What is the ego, whence its origin, and what its destiny?" The ego man is the reflection of the ego God. The ego man is the image and likeness of perfect mind, spirit, divine principle. The one ego, the one mind or spirit called God, is infinite individuality, which supplies all form and comeliness, and which reflects reality and divinity in individual spiritual man and things. The mind supposed to exist in matter or beneath a skull bone is a myth, a misconceived sense and false conception as to man and mind. When we put off the false sense for the true and see that sin and mortality have neither principle nor permanency, we shall learn that sin and mortality are without actual origin or rightful existence. They are native nothingness, out of which error would simulate creation through a man formed from dust. Divine science does not put new wine into old bottles, soul into matter, nor the infinite into the finite. Our false views of matter perish as we grasp the facts of spirit. The old belief must be cast out, or the new idea will be spilled, and the inspiration, which is to change our standpoint, will be lost. Now, as of old, truth casts out evils and heals the sick. The real life or mind and its opposite, the so-called material life and mind, are figured by two geometrical symbols, a circle or sphere, and a straight line. The circle represents the infinite without beginning or end. The straight line represents the finite, which has both beginning and end. The sphere represents good, the self-existent and eternal individuality or mind. The straight line represents evil, a belief in a self-made and temporary material existence. Eternal mind and temporary material existence never unite in figure or in fact. A straight line finds no abiding place in a curve, and a curve finds no adjustment to a straight line. Similarly, matter has no place in spirit, and spirit has no place in matter. Truth has no home in error, and error has no foothold in truth. Mind cannot pass into non-intelligence and matter, nor can non-intelligence become soul. At no point can these opposites mingle or unite. Even though they seem to touch, one is still a curve and the other a straight line. There is no inherent power in matter, for all that is material is a material, human, mortal thought, always governing itself erroneously. Truth is the intelligence of immortal mind. Error is the so-called intelligence of mortal mind. Whatever indicates the fall of man or the opposite of God or God's absence is the Adam dream, which is neither mind nor man, for it is not begotten of the Father. The rule of inversion infers from error its opposite, truth. But truth is the light which dispels error. As mortals begin to understand spirit, they give up the belief that there is any true existence apart from God. Mind is the source of all movement, and there is no inertia to retard or check its perpetual and harmonious action. Mind is the same life, love, and wisdom, yesterday and today and forever. Matter and its effects, sin, sickness, and death, are states of mortal mind which act, react, and then come to a stop. They are not facts of mind. They are not ideas, but illusions. Principle is absolute. It admits of no error, but rests upon understanding. But what say prevalent theories? They insist that life, or God, is one and the same with material life, so-called. They speak of both truth and error as mind, and of good and evil as spirit. They claim that to be life, which is but the objective state of material sense, such as the structural life of the tree and of material man, and deem this the manifestation of the one life God. This false belief as to what really constitutes life so detracts from God's character and nature that the true sense of his power is lost to all who cling to this falsity. The divine principle or life cannot be practically demonstrated in length of days, as it was by the patriarchs, unless its science be accurately stated. We must receive the divine principle in the understanding and live it in daily life. And unless we so do, we can no more demonstrate science than we can teach and illustrate geometry by calling a curve a straight line or a straight line a sphere. Our mentality, immortality, consciousness resident in matter. It is not rational to say that mind is infinite but dwells in finiteness in matter, or that matter is infinite and the medium of mind. If God were limited to man or matter, or if the infinite could be circumscribed within the finite, God would be corporeal, and unlimited mind would seem to spring from a limited body. But this is an impossibility. Infinite mind can have no starting point and can return to no limit. It can never be in bonds, nor be fully manifested through corporeality. Is God's image or likeness matter or immortal, sin, sickness, and death? Can matter recognize mind? Can infinite mind recognize matter? Can the infinite dwell in the finite or know aught unlike the infinite? Can deity be known through the material senses? Can the material senses, which receive no direct evidence of spirit, give correct testimony as to spiritual life, truth, and love? The answer to all these questions must forever be in the negative. The physical senses can obtain no proof of God. They can neither see spirit through the eye, nor hear it through the ear, nor can they feel, taste, or smell spirit. Even the more subtle and misnamed material elements are beyond the cognizance of these senses, and are known only by the effects commonly attributed to them. According to Christian Science, the only real senses of man are spiritual, emanating from divine mind. Thought passes from God to man, but neither sensation nor report goes from material body to mind. The intercommunication is always from God to his idea, man. Matter is not sentient and cannot be cognizant of good or of evil, of pleasure or of pain. Man's individuality is not material. This science of being obtains not alone hereafter in what men call paradise, but here and now. It is the great fact of being for time and eternity. What, then, is the material personality which suffers, sins, and dies? It is not man, the image and likeness of God, but man's counterfeit, the inverted likeness, the unlikeness called sin, sickness, and death. The unreality of the claim that a mortal is the true image of God is illustrated by the opposite natures of spirit and matter, mind and body, for one is intelligence, while the other is non-intelligence. Is God a physical personality? Spirit is not physical. The belief that a material body is man is a false conception of man. The time has come for a finite conception of the infinite and of a material body as the seat of mind to give place to a diviner sense of intelligence and its manifestations, to the better understanding that science gives of the supreme being or divine principle and idea. by interpreting God as a corporeal Savior, but not as the saving principle or divine love, we shall continue to seek salvation through pardon and not through reform, and resort to matter instead of spirit for the cure of the sick. As mortals reach through knowledge of Christian Science a higher sense, they will seek to learn not from matter, but from the divine principle God, how to demonstrate the Christ truth as the healing and saving power. It is essential to understand, instead of believe, what relates most nearly to the happiness of being. To seek truth through belief in a human doctrine is not to understand the infinite. We must not seek the immutable and immortal through the finite, mutable, and mortal, and so depend upon belief instead of demonstration, for this is fatal to a knowledge of science. The understanding of truth gives full faith in truth, and spiritual understanding is better than all burnt offerings. The Master said, "No man cometh unto the Father, the divine principle of being, but by me, Christ, life, truth, love. For Christ says, I am the way." Physical causation was put aside from first to last by this original man, Jesus. He knew that the divine principle, love, creates and governs all that is real. In the Saxon and 20 other tongues, good is the term for God. The scriptures declare all that he made to be good, like himself, good in principle and in idea. Therefore, the spiritual universe is good and reflects God as he is. God's thoughts are perfect and eternal, are substance and life. Material and temporal thoughts are human, involving error, and since God, Spirit, is the only cause, they lack a divine cause. The temporal and material are not then creations of Spirit. They are but counterfeits of the spiritual and eternal. Transitory thoughts are the antipodes of everlasting truth, though by the supposition of opposite qualities, error must also say, I am true. But by this saying, error, the lie, destroys itself. Sin, sickness, and death are comprised in human material belief and belong not to the divine mind. They are without a real origin or existence. They have neither principle nor permanence, but belong with all that is material and temporal to the nothingness of error, which simulates the creations of truth. All creations of spirit are eternal, but creations of matter must return to dust. Error supposes man to be both mental and material. Divine science contradicts this postulate and maintains man's spiritual identity. We call the absence of truth error. Truth and error are unlike. In science, truth is divine, and the infinite God can have no unlikeness. Did God, truth, create error? No. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? God being everywhere and all-inclusive, how can he be absent or suggest the absence of omnipresence and omnipotence? How can there be more than all? Neither understanding nor truth accompanies error, nor is error the offshoot of mind. Evil calls itself something when it is nothing. It saith, I am man, but I am not the image and likeness of God. Whereas the scriptures declare that man was made in God's likeness. Error is false, mortal belief. It is illusion, without spiritual identity or foundation, and it has no real existence. The supposition that life, substance, and intelligence are in matter or of it is an error. Matter is neither a thing nor a person, but merely the objective supposition of spirit's opposite. The five material senses testify to truth and error as united in a mind both good and evil. Their false evidence will finally yield to truth, to the recognition of spirit and of the spiritual creation. Truth cannot be contaminated by error. The statement that truth is real necessarily includes the correlated statement that error, truth's unlikeness, is unreal. The suppositional warfare between truth and error is only the mental conflict between the evidence of the spiritual senses and the testimony of the material senses. And this warfare between the spirit and flesh will settle all questions through faith in and the understanding of divine love. Superstition and understanding can never combine. When the final physical and moral effects of Christian Science are fully apprehended, the conflict between truth and error, understanding and belief, science and material sense, foreshadowed by the prophets and inaugurated by Jesus, will cease, and spiritual harmony reign. The lightnings and thunderbolts of error may burst and flash till the cloud is cleared and the tumult dies away in the distance. Then the raindrops of divinity refresh the earth. As St. Paul says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, of spirit. The chief stones in the temple of Christian Science are to be found in the following postulates: that life is God, good, and not evil. That soul is sinless, not to be found in the body. That spirit is not and cannot be materialized. That life is not subject to death. That the spiritual real man has no birth, no material life, and no death. Science reveals the glorious possibilities of immortal man, forever unlimited by the mortal senses. The Christ element in the Messiah made him the way-shower, truth, and life. The eternal truth destroys what mortals seem to have learned from error, and man's real existence as a child of God comes to light. Truth demonstrated is eternal life. Mortal man can never rise from the temporal debris of error, belief in sin, sickness, and death, until he learns that God is the only life. The belief that life and sensation are in the body should be overcome by the understanding of what constitutes man as the image of God. Then spirit will have overcome the flesh. A wicked mortal is not the idea of God. He is little else than the expression of error. To suppose that sin, lust, hatred, envy, hypocrisy, revenge have life abiding in them is a terrible mistake. life and life's idea, truth and truth's idea, never make men sick, sinful, or mortal. The fact that the Christ or truth overcame and still overcomes death proves the King of Terrors to be but a mortal belief or error, which truth destroys with the spiritual evidences of life. And this shows that what appears to the senses to be death is but a mortal illusion. For to the real man and the real universe, there is no death process. The belief that matter has life results by the universal law of mortal mind in a belief in death. So man, tree, and flower are supposed to die. But the fact remains that God's universe is spiritual and immortal. The spiritual fact and the material belief of things are contradictions, but the spiritual is true, and therefore the material must be untrue. Life is not in matter, therefore it cannot be said to pass out of matter. Matter and death are mortal illusions. Spirit and all things spiritual are the real and eternal. Man is not the offspring of flesh, but of spirit, of life, not of matter. Because life is God, life must be eternal, self-existent. Life is the everlasting I am, the being who was and is and shall be, whom nothing can erase. If the principle, rule, and demonstration of man's being are not in the least understood before what is termed death overtakes mortals, they will rise no higher spiritually in the scale of existence on account of that single experience, but will remain as material as before the transition, still seeking happiness through a material instead of through a spiritual sense of life, and from selfish and inferior motives. That life or mind is finite and physical, or is manifested through brain and nerves, is false. Hence, truth comes to destroy this error and its effects, sickness, sin, and death. To the spiritual class relates the scripture, "On such the second death hath no power." If the change called death destroyed the belief in sin, sickness, and death, happiness would be won at the moment of dissolution and be forever permanent. But this is not so. Perfection is gained only by perfection. They who are unrighteous shall be unrighteous still, until in divine science Christ truth removes all ignorance and sin. The sin and error which possess us at the instant of death do not cease at that moment, but endure until the death of these errors. To be wholly spiritual, man must be sinless, and he becomes thus only when he reaches perfection. The murderer, though slain in the act, does not thereby forsake sin. He is no more spiritual for believing that his body died and learning that his cruel mind died not. His thoughts are no purer until evil is disarmed by good. His body is as material as his mind, and vice versa. The suppositions that sin is pardoned while unforsaken, that happiness can be genuine in the midst of sin, that the so-called death of the body frees from sin, and that God's pardon is aught but the destruction of sin, these are grave mistakes. We know that all will be changed in the twinkling of an eye when the last trump shall sound. But this last call of wisdom cannot come till mortals have already yielded to each lesser call in the growth of Christian character. Mortals need not fancy that belief in the experience of death will awaken them to glorified being. Universal salvation rests on progression and probation and is unattainable without them. Heaven is not a locality, but a divine state of mind in which all the manifestations of mind are harmonious and immortal, because sin is not there, and man is found having no righteousness of his own, but in possession of the mind of the Lord, as the Scripture says. In the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. So we read in Ecclesiastes. This text has been transformed into the popular proverb, "As the tree falls, so it must lie." As man falleth asleep, so shall he awake. As death findeth mortal man, so shall he be after death, until probation and growth shall effect the needed change. Mind never becomes dust. No resurrection from the grave awaits mind or life, for the grave has no power over either. No final judgment awaits mortals, for the judgment day of wisdom comes hourly and continually, even the judgment by which mortal man is divested of all material error. As for spiritual error, there is none.